I wanted to do this tonight because I've holed myself up in my room a lot this winter, and it feels like I need to come out of my cocoon, and I want to share with you what I've been doing. And I hope that you feel that I'm just really excited to share things, and I'm not trying to sell things, but I just really want to show you what I've been doing. And I'm going to have some guests, some helpers. So the fashion show part will be the second half, and the first part here, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what I do, and I have some weird things here. And what's behind me is artwork, all done, or crafts, all done by people in the village this winter, or work they've done sometime. And I just asked people who I, you know, knew may have made something, and I want to thank Pam Johnson for displaying it. And there'll be time in between when I get done with my little presentation at first and like the style show, and you can come up and look. And I already kind of broke something, so like, don't touch. But right before we go into the style show, I'll have a time to, I'll ask people if they want to share something about what they've made. So, well, I have a company called Big Creek. And several people said, Nadine, what's Big Creek? I got a package up here, and John Wright said, yeah, I was going to have him haul it up to Big Creek. And so I thought, well, I should tell the story about what I'm doing and why I named it that and what I hope to do. So it all started when I was a little girl, and I used to make my own Barbie doll clothes. Now, they weren't fancy, but my grandma wore these, like, double-knit dresses, you know, stuff that doesn't ravel. And so there'd be scraps, and I'd make, like, little Barbie doll clothes because I could just cut with the scissors and kind of make clothes. Well, I graduated from that. I was about 9 years old. And I didn't know at the time, but I was really lucky because my sister and I always had Easter dresses and Christmas dresses, homemade. We always had a new dress. And a lot of other things my mom made too, but she got to the point where she was too busy to sew. So I was really impatient one day. I said, Mom, when are you going to sew my smock? It was this little like sailor print, and this little smock they used to be in. And she didn't have time. I said, well, will you teach me? So she started by little straight seams and started out that I did this smock, my very first project. Well, then the next year I joined 4-H. And from then on, I was in the dress project, or the clothing project, because they changed it too. And I was in 4-H for 9 years. So tonight, when I'm doing the little fashion show part, I used to help plan the dress reviews and like narrate them. So it kind of comes natural to me. So it's kind of, I'm just going to flow with it, okay? But I learned a lot about sewing from different people in 4-H, and pretty soon I was sewing better than my mom, so I started sewing clothes for her. And that's probably when I first started sewing for other people. And I went from sewing my little smock to like the time I got into the upper years of 4-H, I was sewing things like Pendleton tailored wool suits. So I kind of ran the whole gamut. And I still wear a lot of the stuff today, so that's one of the reasons I sew it lasts. I was thinking about some of the advantages to sewing, and some people think it's kind of strange that I like to do all these other things, and they find out I sew, and it's like, but you run and you bike and you sew? And yeah, I sew, and these are some of the reasons why I sew. The ready-made garment industry doesn't only have certain sizes, so if you don't fit their proportions, you're kind of out of luck. And although I usually haven't had much of a problem, I'm kind of an average size, I find a lot of other people who did. So fitting is a good reason to sew, so you can make clothes that fit, which if you can't buy them. Another reason is that you could choose your own fabric and your style and colors and all those things you like. They'll last forever, basically. So I wore a blouse a couple weeks ago, and somebody said, oh, did you make that? And I said, yeah, I think I made it in 9th grade. And I did, so I still have a lot of the stuff I made. It's economical, and sometimes people question, well, do you really save that much? Well, you can't count your time, but if you just count the materials, depending on what you make, usually I figure I can make it for up to half, 50% of the retail cost to 200%, depending on what I'm sewing. So you do save a lot, and then you can always find sales too, so I usually buy things on sales. but it just depends what you're making. Another big reason I sew yet is because it's the one of the things I do where I can really relax when I sew, and it puts me in a good place to think about good stuff. Puts me in a creative framework, and I get all kinds of ideas usually when I sew. So for me, it's a way to relax, and my best hours are about 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. So like I have Doug Wold to thank that he liked to party a lot, and he didn't mind me staying up and sewing. And the other thing, some of you probably, your only sewing experience would have been in home ec. And by the time I got to school, both the boys and the girls had to take home ec. And I remember some people just thought it was the biggest pain. And now that I think about it, it's probably because we sewed boring things. But if you haven't sewed since the days when you were in home ec, then you might even want to give it a shot again, because it's changed so much. What's happened is in the last few years, some of the things that industry does, for instance, Patagonia, when they would go make a garment, now those kinds of methods and the kind of machinery and the equipment and the tools are now available to people who sew themselves. So sewing's changed a whole lot. And they've made it really fast, because they know people don't have time to sit around and do really slow things. So that's probably another reason I like it, because it's fast. Another thing that's changed, it used to be a compliment if people could tell it was homemade if it looked homemade. Well, now it's more of a compliment if it looks really stylish, like all my sewing magazines, you know. This is like, you know, it looks like Nike, right? I mean, so they try and promote so it looks like you bought it. Or, you know, like fine things like this, you know. They really are emphasizing sewing so it looks very professional. So that's probably changed. And it's not a compliment if someone says, "Did you sew that?" Let's see. Probably one of the biggest things I get is when people say, "Well, did you sew that?" And I say, "Yes." They go, "Oh, I never learned to do that," or "I wish I would have," and "Oh, how do you have the time or the patience?" And that's probably the key, is that if you have the patience and someone to show you, to sit down with you one-on-one, probably anybody here could sew. I say the same thing about cooking. Anybody can cook. And I found, especially if you're a person who likes to build things, I found carpenters make pretty good sewers, because they like to build things and they have a sense of how to put things together. And people who are like engineer types, because it's a lot of, you know, piecing and putting things together. So don't just think that you could never do it, because I think everybody here could sit down and sew something. So that's one of the fallacies I want to dispel. When I started doing all kinds of athletic things, and especially when I moved out to Washington and I started taking mountaineer classes and got into all the outdoor types of things, they kept handing us these sheets with, you know, equipment you need. And a lot of it was certain types of clothing and gear you needed to do all these activities, climbing and hiking. And I found that I could only afford the stuff at the spring sale at REI. And it just got overwhelming. I tried to borrow some things, but I don't really didn't get into borrowing things, because then if you rip it, you got to fix it and all that kind of stuff. So I finally thought, well, I should be able to sew some of this stuff. And I started out by finding this one store in Seattle that carried some of the fabrics, like Gore-Tex, some of those names you know. And my first things I sewed were gaiters, over mitts, and tights. And after that, I was hooked, because I thought, this is just like the stuff you buy. So that was when I was working in Olympia. I had a real job. And after 2 years, I decided that if I'm going to put all that time into a real job, that I really should find something I like. And so I quit that job. And one of the things I thought I might try while I was taking some time off, and during that time I came up here a couple times, was I should maybe try to see if I could sew some of these outerwear types of things. Because I'd also in 4-H, all my little things go back to 4-H. When I was in 4-H, I had a bread baking business. And that was, kind of got into that. I thought, well, if I can sell bread, I can sell things I sew. So what I started doing was looking at things people bought, or I'd look through catalogs. Like, I always keep stuff like this in hand, you know, latest REI and bike catalogs. And I'd go look and see what was in fashion and see what kind of fibers they were using, or I'd see someone with something, I said, oh wait, can I look at that? And I'd look all over and look at the seams and try and figure out how they did it. And I also started talking to people. Matter of fact, I did that up here last year. I started talking to Randy and some of the people who I knew did a lot of outdoor activities. And by the time I left here last spring, I was here for winter sojourn of 89, yeah. I decided, well, I'm gonna start doing some of this stuff. So when I left last spring, I ended up designing a bivy bag, which you'll see tonight. And I took a basic pattern and redesigned it so it looked kind of like one of the mountaineering coats they use for wind and rain and one of the name brands. And it took a lot of time, and I was pretty scared to cut into this expensive fabric I'd gotten, you know, because I'd probably wreck it. And I ended up ripping a lot. But I finally came out with something that worked, and it looked like what you buy in REI or Patagonia. So that's kind of was the testing ground. And when I knew I was going to come up here this winter, I thought what I could try and do is sew some things and see what I could sew that I could sell. I'd try out different things and see what was feasible to be able to sew and sell. And by December, I went and got a business license. And that's really easy. Any of you who want to do that, it's no big deal. You plop down $20 and they give you a number. I thought it was a bigger deal than that, but they don't even ask you if you can do anything. And that enabled me to start buying more fabrics and some of the hardware wholesale, which is a really big savings. I couldn't believe it. If you've ever gone into a fabric store and seen the prices on fabric, you should compare it to wholesale prices, and it's really marked up. So that was a big help. And luckily, there were some people up here who wanted to be used as guinea pigs. They trusted me. That's what I should say. They trusted me to try some things out for them. So I think I've gotten to the point now where I think my niche is going to be doing custom things, because a lot of people have said to me, well, you know, I really like skiing, but they don't make things that fit my long arms, or I'm a little broader than, you know, I don't fit into a man's, but I'm broader than most of the women's things. And that's probably what I'll end up doing, a lot of custom things with fitting and also some custom designs. What else do I have here? The reason I want to do this, not because it's the only thing I could go out and do, I guess, but I plan to go to fiber art school in the fall, and I have the money to go to school, but I don't have the money to live. And I really would like to be my own boss, and I'm not really set, like I don't have to make a big success out of this, but probably for me, it's just seeing if I can do something and making it work. That's the biggest thing. When I leave, I'm going to make I have some contacts that Steve has made for me, and I know a lot of people that have in the climbing world, and so hopefully through the contacts I've started to make and the ones I'll make, that's what I'm going to do this summer. I'm going to sew full time, so we'll see what happens, see if I end up hating sewing. My mother always thought I should be a home ec teacher, so maybe this will be a little closer to what she thought I was going to do. I was going to say that I don't have tons of, most of my experience just comes from having sewn for 18 years. And I have never had a drafting class, which would really be good, and I haven't taken like home ec classes, or I don't know what they call them these days, specifically. And those are some of the things I'll probably incorporate when I go to art school, learn how to actually draw. But, so a lot of my knowledge, or whatever I call it, just comes from doing it. So if you ask me questions, I may not know the answer. I just know why I do it a certain way. I brought along a few things. I have my room up there. Most people come in and say, do you sleep in here? Because I brought up all my stuff. And this is something I found that takes a lot of stuff to do it quickly and well. So some people have just seen stuff and say, what do you use this for? And what do you use this for? So I thought I'd just go through some things kind of quick, and you might be surprised some of the things I use. Let's see. I'm just going to kind of start. About 10 years ago, you couldn't have found much of this stuff on the market, or the patterns of the fabric, because all the companies sucked it up and they didn't let it out to the public. And now more and more they're letting it out, so there's all kinds of resources. So just some of the things I do is I take like you know, you all seen like these kind of patterns, your basic and McCall's or something. But most of the stuff I use is done by pattern companies that specialize in sportswear, and it's mainly on the West Coast now. And I'll take something like this, or this, and then I'll use that as the basic form, and then I'll modify it to like make it look the way I want it to. So that's been one of the things I've gotten more courage to do. So that's basically the kind of design I do. I take things and I modify them. Chris had me make an anorak for her, and I use this pattern, but I change a bunch of stuff on it. So that's what I mean when I do custom work and I redo details. Or like Bill could come up to me and say, "Yeah, Nadine, my polar plus plants, they just don't work when I'm on rock and they always snag and rip," and that's another way how I work out things. Steve has climbed for 17 years, and with my sewing for that long, we found a lot we can put together, his experience, the way he wants things. So it always helps when people know what they want, and they teach me, you know, what they want, and I try and do it. Let's see, so I got some patterns. And then another thing I do, I always try and read magazines and see what's in, and because I don't really go to stores very much, so I've got a bunch of stuff like this. I'll go and see, oh, what are they using? And always the back. I'm really into the trade section now because I've got all these great tools, little gadgets and things. And all kinds of places now you can get fabric. This one's in Corvallis. There's another one in Eugene. There's another. So if you ever want to try something, I'd really encourage you to, because it feels really good to, you know, make your own thing, and then you can go to the store and go, "Ha ha, I made that for $2, and they're charging $10. I do that all the time. And, you know, this is kind of stuff I get inspiration from and read about all the new techniques. And some of those things I do, let's see, some of the things you may not be used to. This is an iron. Jeff asked me the other day what this was. And this is really great because, I mean, some people, they use it, like, to travel with. But when you're in a small space like I am and I just have this little board I iron on, I iron right in my lap. And then I don't have to get up and iron and sit back down and sew. So these are kind of neat. They're found all the time now. Zipper. I use lots of zipper stuff. And I buy it by the yard. You probably didn't, some of you didn't know it came, but it just comes in those little packages. But this is really cheap. And then you put on your own holes. And this is a great way to replace zippers. I used it in Lynn's backpack, I think. Elastic, if you ever go in and buy those neat Lycra shorts nowadays or the tights, they all, lots of them have elastic that has a drawstring in it. Hey, you can buy it now yourself. I thought that was a pretty neat find when that came out. The swimsuits and things you buy and all that, those like the Lycra halter tops and things people wear, this is the kind of elastic they use. This is what's in your swimsuit, believe it or not. This is elastic. It will melt, though, if you put it in the dryer. Very hot. Let's see what else. These things are great. These things are called Wonder Weights. And they're just these little, stupid little weights, cut a little felt in the bottom. Nobody pins anymore. When you lay out a pattern, you used to pin it all down. Now you just lay it out, put weights on it, and cut it. And the other thing that works really good is tuna fish. I use the tuna fish cans too, and I'll probably buy more tuna when I leave too, so I have more weights. And the way you do that, the way you cut it, a lot of people don't use scissors anymore. They use these, they're called self-healing mats, and you've seen, I think Jeanette has one, and a lot of quilters use them, and these little rotary cutters, and they've got this really sharp blade on them, and you just plop your pattern down in the fabric and put the little tuna fish on it, and you cut it. And it's really quick. And I think some of you probably saw me doing that when I was over there cutting stuff out on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. And let's see what else. Oh, needles. I go through needles like they're going out of style. Mm-hmm. But there's probably as many different kinds of needles as there are like pencils for artwork or different brands of soup or whatever, and I didn't know a lot about that till I started using different fabrics, so I didn't know needles had so many personalities. So I have all kinds of needles for different fabrics. This is my best friend. It's called a seam ripper. I rip stuff out at least every hour. This stuff is pretty nifty, and you guys, this is stuff you might find helpful too. It's called fray check. You can put it like on the ends of like hair ribbons so they don't fray, and I use it to do lots of things, but I use it when I make seams with this little thing, which I'll show you. It stops things from fraying. And this is one of my favorite tools. Anybody know what this is? It's a point turner. Yeah, you like, when you make a pocket or anything that has a point in it, you stick this and you press out the point. It's one of my favorite tools. It's my brother. And these things are really cool. I always knock things down because I have so much in my way, and they're called grab-its, and they're just magnetic, and you know, you can just like pick them all up. So those are a must. I just brought this along. I just pulled stuff out of my room real quick. Another thing, any of you who have like exercise tights or any of the lycra wear, and they have that elastic on the inside, the gripper elastic. That's what it is, and I got a whole roll of it. So some of the things I just like because they're fun to play with. I like textures. Anyway, it's a good thing to have. And then when I do design my own patterns, like I did with some of the things tonight, I found the best thing to use. And believe me, since I've come to here, I've been challenged. I'm like, I don't think I should use Visqueen to make my patterns. It doesn't biodegrade. But I haven't found anything that's better. So I just go like to the supply stores, Ernst or hardware stores, and you can, I trace sometimes. I'll take something that's already made and I'll trace it somewhat on this, or I'll make patterns bigger. So this is one of my best tools. And when I make patterns like that, let's see, I just made this one. They'll end up pretty much looking like any other pattern. But I'll put all my markings on it and, you know, write what it is. So that's how I make patterns. Okay, and the last thing I'm going to show you is what I sew a lot with. Now everybody knows what a sewing machine looks like, so I didn't think I had to bring that. But I do want to say that if you have a sewing machine, or if you even have like an old one sitting around, or have a sewing machine that's not really being used, and you think, well, I couldn't sew with that, it's so old. Well, the old ones are actually pretty good because all the new ones these days are all electronic. I can't find a picture, but you know, just like a computer screen, you can touch the button to see what stitch you want. And personally, I think all you need is one that goes backwards and forwards and maybe zigzags and does a couple other things, and that's all I have. But I have a real good one. So that's one thing I go by, is that if I have things, they can be basic, but they're going to be really good quality. Because if you're going to put the time into sewing it, you want it to last. So besides a sewing machine, which goes backwards and forwards and zigzags, about, I don't know how long ago now, but sergers came out, and that's what this is. This is a serger. And industry's used them for a long time. And there's different variations. There's some that are called, they have five threads, so there's five spools of thread, or three thread, or 3/4 thread, and this is a 3/4 thread, I guess. And what a serger does is, everybody right now, you can probably take the cuff of whatever you're wearing and turn it inside out so you can see a seam. And probably what you see is there's a seam and it's overcast. It's got a ziggy ziggy zaggy zaggy, and it's overcast so that the edge isn't going to fray. And that's what this is. It's overcast. It cuts off the seam. It cuts it and then it overcasts it all in one stitch, plus it sews the straight seam. So that's what sergers do, and they allow you to make things now like, you know, your own lycra tights and all that kind of fancy stuff, swimwear. And so now you know something. You can say, hey, I know how they made my seam. But this is probably the most expensive thing I have here, but I couldn't sew the type of stuff I'm sewing without it. But you don't have to have one of these to sew your own stuff. It's a nice tool, and it enables me to do a lot more. So that's what a serger was. The last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pass around some fabric samples. Because when I have this little show, I'm going to talk about what things were made of. And one of the things when I first started looking to buy all this gear, I went into these stores and I was overwhelmed because I didn't know what the difference between Thermax and Coolmax and Cinchilla and Gore-Tex and Suplex and all this fabric that's coming out. And so I eventually learned about it. So I'll just pass around a few examples. A lot of the stuff I do is with about three basic fabrics right now, not because I can't sew in more, but just because I've ordered it in bolts and it's cheaper that way, and so I'm sewing with it. Polar Plus. A lot of you have jackets on. Let's see. There's
two red ones right there, and I've got one on.
Lynn has one on. That's used a lot these days. And one of the reasons I started sewing these things are because all this athletic gear also became popular, became fashionable, so the price went, and I couldn't afford it. So I started trying to find things to copy it. And I wore this, I thought it was kind of funny because it's not something I made, it's Patagonia. They're one of the people that started a really small company, just this one person who was kind of this podunk climbing guy. And now it's the clothing of yuppies. I didn't buy this, it was given to me. But a lot of these fabrics are now available because these companies like Helly Hansen or Patagonia or REI, they actually have chemists and staff that come up with new kinds of fabrics all the time. Patagonia comes out with one new fabric at least a year to keep out of the competition. And they have patents on it, just like came out with a car or something. So their stuff is called Cinchilla. It's called Cinchilla. Well, as soon as their patent ran out, all these companies started making their version of it. For most stuff you find now, like REI, is Polar Plus. So I'll just start passing a few examples around. So if you go to buy something, my recommendation is, why buy this for $75 if you can go to an REI sale and get a Polar Plus one for $40? So that it's the same stuff. It's right there. Same stuff as this. Now that some other things I use for when I sew bags and packs and things like that is Cordura, and you all know what that is because most of you have packs. But you can get it in all colors, and it's really strong. It's woven with hundreds of fibers both ways, and it's water-coated to hold up and resist abrasion. And there's all different kinds of variations on this. I have another one, it's called Junior Cordura, and that's just a little lighter weight. But every time I go to a store like this, I just see what's new. And there's always something different. So there's some examples of that. And the other main thing I use right now is called Ultrix. And I just tipped the horse over. It's called Ultrix. And probably most of you here own something rain waterproof, like a rain garment. And that can be made out of, probably is made out of Gore-Tex or Ultrix or one of the copies. It's the same thing. Whoever invented Gore-Tex patented it, and when the patent ran out, all these other companies started making their version of it. And one of the versions used a lot now is called Ultrix. And that's what I sew a lot with. So here's some Ultrix. And so any of the rain gear, even if it has a weird name, it's probably going to be some version of this. Helly Hansen has one they call Helitech. Helitech. I had an example. I think I left it somewhere. So that's Ultrix. And the other fiber I use a lot for this outerwear is Lycra. And a lot of you probably own something made of Lycra, and it's kind of a fallacy. This is only, most of it's only 15% Lycra, and the rest is spandex or nylon or something. There's all different kinds of Lycra. There's different weights. There's some that stretches two ways. There's some that stretches four ways. There's some that stretches one way. There's some that's super sheen. I mean, there's all different kinds. So one of the things you look for if you want to go out and buy something with Lycra, look to see how much it has in it, percentage, because some people now are putting out Lycra with maybe 5% Lycra in it, and that's the kind of fiber that makes it stretch and come back. And that's not going to be nearly as good as the stuff that has more, a higher percentage of Lycra in it, so you might want to check a little tag. But I got a bunch of Lycra. And the other thing I do since I came to Holden, I don't throw away any scraps. So I feel so bad throwing this stuff to be buried. And so one of the questions could be, well, why don't you use more natural fibers? Well, some things you can use natural fibers for, and they'll hold up really well and work well. But for instance, if you were to wear, and most of you know this, but just an easy comparison, you know, your cotton long johns out hiking and it rained and they got wet and they'd stay wet and they'd be cold and they wouldn't insulate you. Whereas some of the fibers now, like Thermax or Coolmax or but they're made out of synthetic fibers, but they're either going to wick the moisture away from you, dry faster, it'll keep you warm even while wet. So a lot of the fibers I use
used because of how good they are for the surfing, you know, whether for skiing or climbing. They just have qualities that are better than the natural fibers. And I think Rosie told me one too, saying she's allergic to wool. So she has to use synthetic fibers. But I do keep all my scraps, and I'm going to figure out something to do.
A quilt or something. So, are there any questions in this part? Yes.
What percentage of lycra should you or
your? We should at least have 15%. Yeah. Yes.
Now, what's the story behind Big Pig?
Oh, behind Big Pig. Okay. Well, I wanted to be, since I'm doing mainly outerwear, I wanted to sound kind of outdoorsy. And when I went to get my license, I had to think of a title right then and there. And so what was most familiar to me was, well, I was at the Colden sewing all this stuff, right? And I thought of all the words kind of sounded neat, like Copper Basin, Big Creek, Railroad Creek, and I just kind of went, okay, well, Big Creek.
So not Dumbbell?
No. So that's how I came up with it.
Nadine, the board that you use to cut on?
Yeah.
Is that the biggest size you use?
No, they have them as big as tables, like
yeah.
long tables.
Do you
and
have them?
I'd like one of those, but these are extremely expensive, like, you know, $100 or something.
Really?
For one really that huge.
Well, you're always having to move
size?
That one then.
That one's like, I don't know, 17 by 25. Yeah, I have to move it, which is kind of a pain. But these are really neat because you can use them for a lot of artwork and all kinds of
things. How much was that one?
I don't know. I got, my parents give me things like sewing supplies for Christmas. So, I don't know. I'd probably like $20. Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I should probably thank my parents because when other people were getting, you know, jeans and board games for Christmas, I was getting sewing machines and subscriptions to magazines like Sew News, and so I had a lot of help. Any other questions? Probably the best advice, whether you go buy your things or have someone make them or try making them yourself, are just trying a whole bunch of different brands and types. There's so many different brands out there now. You can really look until you find just the kind of things you want. Some of them will have a zipper that goes all the way, but they won't have a pocket here, and you know. So that's, I would never buy any of this stuff really hasty. And there's some great sales out there if you wait. I don't buy anything hardly if I buy it, if it's not on sale. So and read your labels, especially when you're washing this kind of stuff. I was washing some stuff with Pam today, and I put Velcro on a lot of things, and I've ruined a lot of things when I throw Velcro, something with Velcro, in the washing machine, and I don't close it, and it snags everything else. Yeah, and like turning these things inside out so I don't get lint all over them. And so anyway, it's just shop for this kind of stuff the way you'd shop for like a car or china, or I mean really, really check it out, because you might as well get something you really like. You're going to pay for it.
What's the advantage of that fabric of the jacket you
this?
Want to fix up?
The Polar Plus?
Yeah.
Like instead of a wool sweater? I mean, the advantage, I could carry this all the time when I hike. Instead of a wool sweater, it's light. It dries quicker than a wool sweater. Although wool will keep its insulation value when it's wet. And you can scrunch it up and, you know, throw it anywhere. So it dry. That's why I got it. I use it because it dries really quickly. Like if you're sweaty, you can just take it off at lunch and throw it in a rock, and it'll dry off.
So you say that will insulate when wet, like wool does?
Not as well, no. But if you have all your layers of polypropylene and then this and your rain gear, it shouldn't get very wet. Any other questions? And the other thing is just talk to people. You know, some people are walking advertisements for Patagonia, and you ask, how do you like that? You know, does it hold up, or how long have you had it? Or, you know, I just talk to a lot of people. I really do come up and say, can I look at the seams on this? Anything else?
Never ask me and Kurt about ours.
No, I guess I didn't. Well, what I'm going to do now, well, I'm kind of putting some of these things, if any of you want to look at any of this stuff, I'm going to use this area for when people are modeling some of the things, so I'm going to put it back in my box, But if any of you want to come up and look at any of his stuff, feel free to do so afterwards. I can unpack it for you. And while I'm doing that, I want anyone who has contributed to this array display up here, if you'd like to say something. I told them they could remain anonymous, so you don't have to. But maybe if you'd like to say why you like to do what you do, or maybe if there's something unusual about how you designed it or made it or the colors, or and feel free to do that. I'm just going to pack up some of this stuff. And just so no one's shy, I'm going to tell Pam to ask Pam to tell about her cards.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, and while we're doing that, the models can all go out into the Creekside room. And I'll give you your last minute for the
Do we all get to come back in and watch people model?
If you're first. Yeah, why don't you just feel free to come up and look at some of the stuff. Maybe you can get someone to confess.
Are those your pearls, Jeff?
That's it.
My brain.
What is that?
Oh, wow.
Chris brought up a thing. How about like cleaning Gore-Tex? Just wash
it? Warm and soft and change. I always want to test because otherwise it'll start. It's always rinse that step twice.
Like how about the stuff we got here, the soap we got here?
It's fine. Yep. Yeah, it's twice.
Pretty well packed. Yeah,
but what
you
do is you
Thank you. And so you can come back and admire all this afterwards.
Protected them on the way up to the mountain. You've got to walk
half a mile to get to the ticket booth at Crystal Mountain. Skis get really heavy, and you can just sling this over your shoulder. It's small enough to put in your pocket afterwards when you're skiing all day, nobody will steal it. And she'll just demonstrate how fashionable and easy you can carry your skis. Yes, to the mountain. Now, I also want you to note that these are pretty easy. If you come to me or any, and you say, well, I've got these really long cross-country skis, you'll notice that this bag that Marnie has a little extension on it, so I put an extra strap for a pair of longer skis. Also, along with highlighting some of the things you made that were displayed here, I asked if some people would like to wear their creations. And Marlena has on a sweater she made this winter, her own design. And on her feet are socks by Beata, the sock maker. There's a number of socks up here I know people brought, made this winter, so take a look at some of the socks. I think this is a sock winter at Holden. Thank you. Next, we have some more women dressed for winter, and these are the Polar Jacket Twins. This is using that Polar Plus fabric that's the like what I have on. And if you notice, they each have a little different style. Sarah wanted a jacket that would go down and keep her her behind warm. And she liked the full zipper effect so she could easily get in and out of it. Sally is modeling another version. I wear this a lot, you see me, and I like it because it's kind of like a sweatshirt. I can wear it and keep it on when I'm inside. Just another version, I just took the pattern and designed the fronts differently. You saw Deidre and Florence wearing a little other style, so these are really fun to make. And thank you. And wait, I think these women are wearing, yes, they're wearing creations on their ears by Marty. Oh, Marty, look at that. Thank you. Family, here comes Pam, all ready for a hike, it looks like. And she has on Polar Plus pants. Now, I first discovered these things when I'd be hiking or climbing. You get someplace, you stop to have lunch, or you put up your tent, you're pretty sweaty, but you can't, and you have shorts on, you gotta take your shoes off or your boots to get your wool pants on. So I saw some people wearing these, I thought, I'm gonna make them. They're Polar Plus pants that have full zippers, so we want to demonstrate that. And I should mention, underneath, she's wearing long johns out of polypropylene that I made, too. So it's she's not being an exhibitionist. But it's kind of nice because you don't have to take your shoes off. And they're really warm. And they're good things to sleep in, too, if your bag isn't warm enough. I can't tell you anything else about the rest of her attire. Thanks, Pam. Next, we have Rebecca. Rebecca's wearing a rain and wind suit that's for mountaineering. And it has a few extra features on it. First, we'll talk about the jacket. This is one of those things I went into the stores, looked for something I liked, and if any of you want to call me on it, I plagiarized something by Moonstone here. But I added some of my own details too. So I took a basic pattern and I added the pocket she's putting her hands in. That's so if you have a belt around your waist from your pack or a harness, your pockets are still available to you. If they're down here, you can't get into them. Also put flaps or zippers underneath the arms so you can ventilate. Because oftentimes you get really sweaty when you're going up a hill, and this will help you from getting so steamed up. The hood is kind of interesting on this one. If you put the hood up, the drawstrings receded back inside, so you can pull those drawstrings, the toggles tight, and it'll bring the lining of the hood right around your head, but the rest of the hood won't squish you. It even has a little bill on there to keep the rain off. And then there's all kinds of Velcro around the cuffs and over the zipper, because zippers you can't waterproof, of course. So this you can fold that flap over and it'll keep all the water out. Let's see. There's even some neat pockets on this one. There's one in the back, which I didn't make big enough. You probably can't see it, but you can put maps in there. It's a got three in back of you, probably see it there. And there's one inside too. So now I'll have her take off her jacket. Oh, you notice the cordura on her elbows? What do you always wear out first on your coat? So I decided to do the same thing on the pants, because these really take a beating when you're out on the rocks. And if you notice on the back part of her pants and underneath, she has that darker red, that's cordura. And that's going to help them from ripping when you get on a sharp rock sitting down to eat lunch or something. And these also are a full zipper. She's going to undo the Velcro now so you can see the full zipper hiding there. And these also you can put on without taking your boots off, which is a really nice deal when you're out there. And their inside, they have an inner gaiter. It's called a snow cuff. I don't know if you can see that. But that's so when you put them over your thick climbing boots, that acts like a gaiter and you don't have to wear the kind that pitchers wore. So I just made those and I'm going to see how they work this summer. Thanks, Rebecca. Next we have the Lycra group. Now I also ride bike, and I first started off just wearing regular old shorts, but discovered soon why you need padding. And I started making Lycra wear. Now there's some different styles here. I'll start with Paul. Now Paul just wanted some shorts he could wear to aerobics that wouldn't creep up on him and allow him to move around a lot. So I made him some shorts that don't have the padding because he's not sitting on a bike seat. They've got that nice gripper elastic so they stay down on his legs. And of course everybody's wearing neon these days, so he has neon stripes on the side. I think he really likes them. Katie and I should tell some of you models too, if you're listening to me, don't run away because I need pictures. So like stay here afterwards. Marlena and Katie are both wearing bicycling jerseys. And one of the things you're going to notice, they have those pockets in the back. That's to put food and like bananas in when you go cycling because you get pretty hungry. And this one that was kind of neat because I just had a few scraps left of that striping material and I wanted to make something out of it. So I kind of took the same pattern that Katie's is out of and I just recut the pieces in different geometric designs. And came up with that using basically scraps. And Katie's is the same pattern but just has a different inset panels. And you'll notice the shiny part on Katie's legs. That's one of those different kinds of lycras I talked about. It's called satin. It doesn't stretch as much. It kind of holds in more. And Marlena's is just a regular two-way stretch lycra. Maybe you want to walk around once more and then parade off. Thanks. Okay, next we have, it's me. Gosh, well, I've kind of got disrobed to do this. I was going to show you this when Pam was out here. I didn't want to have to buy I'm to the point now where I'm feeling more comfortable kind of redesigning patterns myself. So I took the pattern, you know, you always see, especially kitchen people, we tend to wear these kind of stretch pants things all the time. Well, I took this pattern and I made those pants that Pam had on, just put a zipper in and kind of put some pockets in. So that's kind of a fun thing to do, and then I'm a runner, so it feels like second skin to me. So you see me wearing these a lot, I make my own tights. And they're really fun to do. So these are my tights. Just all Phoebe wear them. These are the ones I made before I knew some of my tricks, so they're not like I make them now. These are like tights and they're really easy to make, and then you know how to sew, so it'd be a great project to start off. And next we have, women set for hiking. Now while they're walking in, I want to apologize. I've made quite a bit of stuff for men. The only problem is, all the men I've made it for don't live here. And they have them. So if it seems a little loaded with females in this production, it's just because the men I've made things for, they have them and I can't model them for you. But most everything I've made that women have on, I've also made for men. And men are pretty fun to fit. They usually have some really weird dimensions, like shoulders that are twice as big as their waists. And so I've had a fun time learning how to sew for men's sizes. Okay, Lynn and Susan are modeling some fanny packs. Let's start with first. Now, Marie and Julia came up to me and said, can you make these? Because I always wear that blue one around, kind of like a purse. I said, well, yeah, I'll try. So all I did is I took that fanny pack I have and I made a pattern from it. And I like kind of like these because they're so big and roomy. Some of these fanny packs you can hardly put a toothbrush in them. But I often use these when I bicycle. I put water, an extra coat in it, maybe a book or two, a camera. And you get a lot less sweaty carrying one of these on the trail than a little backpack. And those are both made out of cordura, just the different kinds, the heavier, the lighter weight. And along with the backpack, Lynn, just to show you, I don't always sew with all these outerwear fabrics. I use regular old fabric. Lynn's modeling some shorts. Everybody has to have jams. And I got this at a Janssen Outlet fabric store last spring, something they had from a bullpen. And she's all ready to go hiking. Thanks. Okay, next we have, I'm going to end with, well, there's a couple things. See, where's one of my, okay, this is 10. Not yet, Carl, not yet. The Nairns are going to come back, and Jan said it would be fine if they would model the sweater she knit for this winter. And I think Rebecca's coming. And Jan knit these for these two fine, lovely women. I think they're Icelandic, right? Mm-hmm. You may want to comment.
Low people.
I really am amazed by all the different talents and interests people have in the village. It's one of the fun things about being here. I like being around a creative place with creative people. Thanks. And in the same category as Meta? Yeah, Meta's here. Maybe Meta could stand up and come into the spotlight. There's a number of wooden things up there. Different people have made. Steve Rothstein has made a number of wooden things, and one is these earrings he made for Meta. And I think they're really neat. Thank you, Meta. And last but not least, I think you've all at one time come up to me and said, what's a bivy, sack, bag? What's that you're doing there? And I said, oh, you can come and find out Monday night.
No.
Well, Carl.
No.
Carl is going to be running the hike house this summer, and he's going to have these hikers all ready now. Yep. Notice this little small parcel over his shoulder. Whoops, he just dropped it. That's what the bivy bags look like when they're rolled up and in their stuff stack. They're really light. They only weigh 2 pounds, and so they're really, really easy to pack around. And what you use them for, you use them
in place. I thought you said bivy bag. I thought it was a portable toilet.
No, it's a bivy bag. B-I-V-Y. Bivy bag, right. And you take that instead of taking a tent, it's a lot lighter. And I've slept out at 8,000 feet in snow, wind, rain, and hail all night.
There?
And stayed fairly dry with my sleeping bag and my Insulite pad inside of it. So now you can see how nice and small it is. Carl's going to show you a finished one, and he's going to demonstrate.
Aha! Here I am.
A bivy bag, and that's long enough to fit people 6'2 and under. And if you're shorter than that, you can even throw your boots or your pack in. I can even put my pack in the bottom. And
soft, convenient camping place.
Yeah, go ahead and try it out, Carl.
I don't need.
Now you notice it has a little sandwich type opening, I call it, and that's because you want as least amount of space as possible to let in, you know, any moisture or rain or anything. So first of all, Carl. Let's pretend he just put his Insulite pad in there. So he put his Insulite pad. There you go. Now he's going to stuff his sleeping bag inside. And now he's going to crawl in.
Ah! Is it bedtime already?
Yeah.
Out in the wild.
You're going to be able to see how nice the And he can put something in there for a pillow. Now, he can do this himself, and since I didn't let him practice, I'm going to help him. Okay, now he can get inside here, and let's say it's a really hot night, but you're camping by Lyman Lake, and there's tons of mosquitoes. So this neat little thing has a mosquito netting, and it's got a double zipper, so he can do this from inside, and he can look at it right on the floor. Here and then tie it through a tree, and when you're down a little further, like Carl should be, there you go. Then this will kind of pull this off your head, and you can stake out the corners here, especially if you're on a slope, and that'll keep you from sliding away. You can kind of pull it off your face. Well, let's say Carl's out and it's really cold, he decided to go up to Big Creek and do some telemark skiing, but he wanted to travel light, so he has his nice down or colorful bag in there, and it's really cold. He can zip these two together, and he can completely cover himself up.
Hi.
But you don't want to, just like in a tent, you don't want to close it all the way up. It's too much condensation. So it's got these zippers here, and he can leave this open up on top here, and he can let some of that condensation out so he can breathe. And believe it or not, this is how I spent 6 hours in Canada one night. It worked. Well, that's about all. There's one more feature. There's one more feature. You know, Carl sometimes wear glasses. There's a little pocket inside there. I don't wear them, but it's kind of pretty handy. And if we can get him out, he'll probably show you. You can put like a flashlight if you want to check out what's bumping around your camp tonight. It's right there handy. There's a little. Yeah, he's pointing to it. It's in there. You're great. You should do this.
Can you unzip it from the inside?
Yes. I'm hoping because he hasn't got time to practice. But see, here's that little pocket. You can put a flashlight or your glasses in or something. So that's about it. That concludes the fashion. Just let the lights back on. If any of you
my pants.
If any of you stay this stuff, I want to for my book. And I want to welcome you to come up here and look at some of the things. I'm just going to say some of the people who brought things. I won't tell you who they are. Yes.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Many of you may not know this, but Nadine has the product that Carla is demonstrating for us. Nadine has made 9 of them, and Holden Village paid for the materials. She donated all of her labor and her time to make them for us for the hike costume for a program that Randy's going to be doing. So I think that